We go right to David Birdsall. I want to keep him waiting. David, of course, from the great Austin W. Marks Public and International Affairs, talking about Baruch College and all that will go on today, Capitol Hill. And we say a very good morning, and we thank him, by the way, for being kind of a late insertion into the show, but he's always comes through for us. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Jay. Great to be here.
Great to be here. Great to have you here. My goodness, I'll tell you one thing, and I honestly say it is great to be here today. If we don't have enough to talk about on a day like today, I don't know what is. But David, certainly the impeachment stuff is big today. Obviously, you know, closing arguments in the Senate, the legal team of the president to take center stage. A lot of issues though over the weekend. You know, the New York Times detailing, an unpublished manuscript by the former National Security Advisor John Bolton, revealing that he claimed Trump told him in the summer, I think it was August of last year, that he wanted to continue holding the aid to Ukraine until they actually help with the investigations into Joe Biden. So that's coming into play, and you know, you have all the left partisan stuff and everything else. Give me your take so far on what has been and what we could find out today.
Well, one of the things that has clearly happened over the last few days is the production of quite a few pieces of corroborating evidence regarding a claim that what the president was trying to do with regard to Ukraine was to deprive them of military aid in order to get an investigation of the Bidens, not a broad-based inquiry into corruption, but an investigation into the Bidens. We have revealing conversations with Secretary of State Pompeo. We have the taped record, a video record as well as an audio record of a conversation among Lev Parnas, the president, Parnas's associate, talking very specifically about activities in Ukraine. And of course, as you just mentioned, we have the pre-publication release of drafts of John Bolton's book, which may still be held up, by the way, by the White House in a pre-clearance process. But the facts alleged in that book, described in that book, are already out. And I think it has two really important consequences. Number one is that you continue to have facts bolstering the case, basically, as those facts were described by Adam Schiff over a very long period of time, last week prosecuting a case in the Senate. And number two, you make it more and more difficult for Republican senators, particularly those who are up for reelection in purple states in the coming year, not to want to hear witnesses. The only way you can defend that choice at this stage is if you believe that should all of those witnesses consistently describe exactly this fact pattern, that it's irrelevant because what happened does not approach an impeachable action.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know, David, until you institute these policies, I mean, my goodness, what are we looking at? Pretty much with all the hearings and everything else that took place November, December, the 33-day gap, two articles of impeachment passed, holding on to by Pelosi and crew. I mean, what are we really looking at here? What kind of a circus are we looking at? If we don't have the very people who could provide the necessary information to even support one iota of this, then what kind of a sham is instituted in our system already?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, we come to a point where the process of impeachment is clearly, in many respects, broken. It's broken deliberately by people who do not want it to work. We have a White House claiming, on the one hand, that Democrats in the House acted precipitously and unreasonably because they didn't have the right witnesses and the right evidence and documentary evidence in front of them. But of course, that was the very same White House that was depriving them of the opportunity to have access to the witnesses and the documentary evidence. So there's stonewalling for certainty on the part of the White House in this regard. There is certainly action that many people, all people, including Adam Schiff himself, said would have been a better case and a case better serving the people if it had had all the evidence. And yet, despite all of that, we still have an opportunity to hear from the people who were directly involved, and that opportunity is right now in the Senate. So the onus is very much on the senators themselves, unless, and I think this is highly unlikely, but unless Chief Justice John Roberts, in his role as presiding officer in this trial, himself qualifies and disqualifies witnesses, it's a near certainty that he leaves those choices to the senators and that the senators vote party line to reject the prospect of witnesses. But that's the major question. Has everything that came out over not only the weeks that you mentioned, but particularly the last 72 hours, is that going to be enough to persuade enough of the people who have indicated that they might make a decision to hear witnesses to do exactly that?
Late in the game, I mean, listen, put aside the fact if this was an impeachable offense in your own mind, the president's phone call, okay? Put that aside. It's the process. You know, it's almost to the point now where you have a majority of partisanship in the Senate where everything will hold true as far as the outcome. Therefore, it's meaningless. You know, you could have all the information coming out, the John Bolton, Lev Parnas, Rudy Giuliani. I mean, what's next? And you want to tell me Mike Pence has now turned the cheek as far as saying, you know what? Well, I got to tell you, it's been weighing on me. And, you know, unless you have something volcanic in nature, is something of that nature, this thing doesn't mean a darn thing to anybody because they already know what the outcome is. You know, it's almost to the point where they need to change the system. Whether it be good or bad, let witnesses come forth and just let the truth be told. That's all. And in fact, I'll even go a step further. Let Trump take the stand. I mean, let him tell his version. At least get the information and the prominent people in there, okay? Then render a verdict, okay? Because you know the verdict will be on the side of the president anyway, whether you believe him or not.
I think that's right. I'd make only one amendment, that it's not necessarily a matter of getting a better system. It's a matter of recommitting to what makes the system that the framers designed actually work. A lot of what makes democratic culture possible, a lot of what makes official procedure possible, is people from all corners of the political spectrum, from all sides of a particular fact situation, feeling strongly about X or Y, whatever it might be, pledging to make the system work. That's what happens in our courts of law every single day all around the United States. And that's what should be happening in the Senate right now. Treat it as a trial. It is a trial. There is supposed to be evidence produced. There has been evidence produced in every single impeachment hearing that has been held in the Senate since the dawn of the Republic. And that includes presidential impeachments of Andrew Johnson and of Bill Clinton. It includes much more numerous judicial impeachments. For some reason, the majority believes that this should be treated differently. And again, the only way that I can see anybody rising to a pass the laugh test defense of that position is believing that if all of the facts were amply documented, that there would still be no grounds for impeachment. But nobody, well, there is that argument being made, and that was the first argument made by the president's attorneys in response to the presentation from the House managers. But those seem to me to be issues that are so clearly demanding interviews, depositions of testimony under oath, and under oath becomes important here, from witnesses. It's just hard to watch this process unfold without that absolutely fundamental cornerstone of judicial process in this country.
You know, the Bolton information, you know, is at the point now, all right, let's get them out there. I want to see questions asked. I would like to see, for the fairness of it all and everything else, you know what? Put Bolton on the stand. Let's ask some questions. Let's make this if we're calling it a trial, we're making a mockery of it in front of the world because it really isn't a trial. I mean, let's really call it as it is. It's a circus. It's a circus because I don't want to hear the Adam Schiff's talk for an hour and a half and presenting his case. I don't want to hear it. It's ridiculous already. You know, it's a great sleep-induced type thing, okay, to watch Adam Schiff. I don't want to hear it. Give me John Bolton. Give me Lev Parnas. Give me Rudy Giuliani. Give me something. If we're going to call it a trial, give me something. I'll give you the last word.
I think you're right. We need to hear from these sources. And certainly John Bolton has indicated that he is amply willing to take the stand under oath and describe what he heard last summer and perhaps testify to other issues as well. Mr. Parnas has indicated that he is not done releasing evidence of how the president has been involved. Let's have him do it in the well of the Senate instead of, just sort of dropping hints from his attorney from time to time, which, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago, have been amply backed up by video recordings and other documentary evidence that things that he has described have happened, apparently, pending, of course, certification of those of those items and those records. But it right now, there's more than smoke. There's fire. It's burning rampantly. Let's try to see if we can douse those flames in the Senate. That's not what the Senate is apparently interested in doing, but that's what this week will show us. Will there be enough senators in the majority to vote in favor of hearing witnesses and creating, one way or another, a definitive end to this, as you described it, rolling carnival?
No question. And you're already, you kind of get a sense of the Lisa Murkowskis out there, who have at least showed signs of concern. Not saying an all-out flip here, but have showed, a few signs here. Something to keep an eye on. But certainly a very interesting couple of days in store on Capitol Hill. David, thanks for the call and everything else. As always, you come through, and I'm sure we'll be in touch in the next couple.
Thanks, Jay. Have a good day.